Coming to was a bitch. Not sure how many volts I took. Conservatively speaking, enough to power my apartment for an hour or two. Mumbles were the first sounds I heard. What the hell happened? Did I get struck by lightning or something? More mumbles. A feminine voice. I'm not sure what it was saying, but yes, it was definitely female. My confusion was too debilitating to focus on the words or with her owner's identity beyond that. It was just this awful ringing. And purple. In my childhood, when I got angry, I'd clutch my eyes shut as hard as I could. Eventually, the pitch black would become dark purple. Open your eyes! My eyelids weren't responding. All I saw was purple. I remembered reading that a blind person's brain rewires itself to use the visual cortex, essentially hijacking it to improve the processing of other information, such as sound and touch. Because of this, some blind people learn to use echolocation, reflected sound waves, to build a mental picture of their surroundings, like bats or dolphins. Abe, one of the guys I worked with, could do this. He was born blind, but his parents were three religion fundamentalists, so they didn't allow him to get implants as a kid. When he got older, he gave up religion and ran away from home. In his secular 20s, he finally got his comms installed, but opted out of ocular implants. Being blind was just a core part of his self-identity. I recalled him claiming to be able to tell an object's distance, size, texture, and density by clicking his tongue against the roof of his mouth about 3 times per second. I'd seen pictures of him hiking and cycling, so maybe he was right. But he was a smartass like me, so there's also a good chance he was full of shit. Just for kicks, I tried clicking my tongue against the roof of my mouth. It worked! Not the echolocation thing, but my tongue worked. Progress. I tried blinking my eyes open. Too bright. The voices were becoming clearer. I could hear mutterings in a Middle Eastern-sounding tongue. One of the Levantine languages, I thought. I had no idea where I was, and no idea who the out-of-focus head trying to communicate with me belonged to. Now someone else shined what looked like an interrogation light in my face, blinding me and catalyzing an even more painful headache. Hey, cut it out! It appeared my vocal cords worked, too. Ahalan, Habibi, the blurry face greeted me. I smelled cardamom and jasmine. My name is Ifrit. Are you okay? No, I'm not okay. Could you please stop shining that thing in my eyes? The bright interrogation light blinked off. She asked me if I was okay again. I rubbed my temples and groaned. Well, I'm not dead. Ifrit's blurry face started to come into focus. She was in her late 20s or early 30s, with attractive Middle Eastern features. Coffee-colored hair, dark almond-shaped eyes, and olive skin. I'm sorry we had to shock you, but our security system doesn't like unauthorized visitors. Well, thanks, I guess. I looked around. Other than the woman tending to me, there was nothing remarkable about the room I found myself in. Why did she send me here? It was another conference room, like the one I just escaped, although the comparatively sparse decor indicated whoever occupied the space had significantly less of an aesthetics budget to work with. For example, the table on which I was lying was made of plastic, not wood, and the chairs were less comfortably ergonomic and more painfully pragmatic. There was a medium-sized printer by the door, though. A very recent model, taking up most of the desktop, and a rather expensive accessory for such an otherwise scant room. But I had made it. I was alive. Do the thing! I'd rehearsed this moment in my head before my escape. My name is Joel Byram. People are trying to kill me. My comms have been disabled. I need help! Shh, Ifrit chided. You don't have to shout. We can hear you. I guess I was yelling. Wait, we? I painfully lifted my head to try to gather my bearings. Beyond Ifrit, at the head of the table on which I was lying, was a lean, salt and pepper-haired, smartly dressed older man. The first thing that came into focus was his forehead. He had more creases on his forehead than I had metaphors to describe them. The smoke from his cigarette snaked toward me, framing his face like he was in one of those old-fashioned film noirs from 2 centuries back. "Is he okay?" the man asked, a low, gravelly voice.